So you can just tell a lot about a culture just by going on Tinder in whatever country you're in.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. This is Carla, your host, and here with me is Yuri. He's one of my really good friends. He's a marketing wizard with over a decade and a half of experience making businesses boom. He's got mad skills in growth marketing, finding the best deals and checking them out thoroughly, and bringing them to the OnFolio team. He's also a super popular speaker on the latest digital trends, secret business formulas, and how to make acquisitions like a pro. This is actually how we met. He was a speaker at this one conference. We were talking about acquisitions, how to make your business exit ready and exit friendly. It was super awesome. For Yuri, the key ingredients to a winning deal are being flexible, open, and trustworthy. So hi, Yuri, how are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to finally, you know, have this chat. I know we tried to schedule it for a while.
I know. Well, the funny thing is our audience still doesn't know what we're going to talk about.
That'll be an interesting surprise.
Yeah. So a few days ago, I announced on my Masterminds WhatsApp group that I wanted to interview a guy about first dates. And I wanted to interview a guy who have been to so many first dates. So I think Yuri has been to 5,000 first dates. And
now you're embellishing just a bit.
Yeah. No, I added a zero at the end of that. But when was your first date ever, Yuri?
When you were I don't know. Sometime in high school, I guess.
Yeah. What did you do?
That beats me. Probably went for like a sandwich. Who knows what kids do at like 13 years old?
I know. I think for me it was like a fast food, like a McDonald's, right? And then you're just sitting there and smiling. For our listeners today, our episode is entitled How to Be a Great First Date. So yeah, so we're going to talk to Yuri and see how much of his thorough experience in determining deals and acquisitions actually translate into his dating life. So tell us, what makes you like ask a girl out to a date?
I mean, just somebody you like vibe with or find attractive or get along with. I mean, especially I think like I actually started dating before the apps were around. So right. I kind of have experience of a little bit before that. And then mostly I think after the apps took off, plus like growing up, like, you know, around the New York area, there's like so many people on them. So just options are endless.
Yeah. What are your favorite like activities for a date? Like what is like a good formula?
I mean, it used to be just like going out for like a drink or something casual. Mm-hmm. But then like when you do enough of those, that gets boring and you kind of just want to do something different, right? So right. Like going for like a hike, you know, something like that you wouldn't expect normally to do on a first date.
Well, as a girl, I would definitely not go on a hike on a first date because I've watched too many like serial killer documentaries to know how this works. So it's a little scary. I think a drink is definitely good. I love that we moved on from like the movie thing, because it's just like staring at a screen, right? I think a movie is a great, I think the movies and dinner formula was an easy way to make sure that you have something to talk about at dinner. You watch the movie.
I don't think I've ever done a movie on a first date, because like you said, that's just awkward.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's one thing if like maybe you go to dinner first and you like click and then you want to continue the date and you just decide on a movie. That's one thing. But otherwise, that's kind of just like, I don't know. It's awkward.
Yeah. Well, I think I liked it because it was a way for me to
not talk to the guy.
Yeah, not talk to the guy and then forget how he looks. No, I'm just kidding. But it's also like I think it's like an excuse to cuddle, I guess, or like put his arm around you and see how comfortable he gets. And but I think mostly it's because it assures us of a conversation at the dinner after, because then we would talk about the movie or something like that. Yeah, I think my favorite date for sure is going to a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah, so that is a great one, because then you can see the person's like sense of humor. And the best is you go sit in the front, so you know you're going to get picked on.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we make up stories like, oh, how did you guys meet? And then we say, oh, we've been married for 15 years or something like that. And then it's just funny. We start doing improv, and then I get to see if he's like cool or awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a great date story. Maybe you have some first dates with over a decade of experience in acquisitions and dating. Maybe there's some like great first dates that stand out to you.
My God, you know what? My memory's so bad, and it's been like, I feel like it's been such a long time since, you know, like you go on like, because most of the dates, like I said, like you go out to dinner, so they don't really stand out as much. I think the ones that are like more fun or something where you can do something unusual, whether you have like maybe tickets to some event, something that happened like last minute. But yeah, kind of like not your ordinary, let's go for dinner, let's go for a drink kind of thing. Like I've had dates where like it would be like we would go literally meet up in like a yoga or like a CrossFit class. And then afterwards we would go like for breakfast or whatever.
That's nice. Yeah. Breakfast dates are kind of nice. There's no pressure. And I think for a guy, it doesn't cost as much unless, you know, they order mimosas, unlimited mimosas. And then it's, you know, the sun is out and then you're also not pressured to dress up. So I definitely like that idea.
Yeah. As long as you're not going out with a Russian girl, it should be a reasonably priced date.
That's funny. Yeah. So that happened to you, huh? You went out with a Russian girl, you said.
Oh, I mean, in general, Russian women definitely, like, you'll even see, like, when you go on the apps, if you scroll on their profile, like, they say, like, don't ask me out for a drink, like, take me to a nice dinner. Like, they know exactly what they want. It's, like, a very common thing.
Wow, interesting.
I've had girls lie to me. I remember I was in Ukraine, and a girl lied to me and told me she didn't speak English. And then on the date, I found out she was lying, and I asked her why. And she said she wanted me to know she was like a stereotypical Ukrainian girl and she does not want to pay for dinner, or because like she was in Germany, and in Germany, I guess everybody goes Dutch there, and she did not like that experience.
Yeah. Well, I don't like going Dutch too. I really don't. I feel like, first of all, I will never invite a guy out for, you know, for a first date. So, because I'm a girl. And then I get invited. And so if I'm invited, then you take care of everything, right? Like if I invite you to my birthday party, I don't expect you to inflate the balloons. So it sounded dirty, but like, you know what I mean? Like, also I say this to my girlfriends all the time. It's like, if a guy invites you for a date, he's taking your youth because he's taking your time. So definitely, definitely don't pay for the date. Ladies, you hear me?
I've never heard of that expression, taking your youth.
That's a good one. Is our best asset. No, I'm just kidding. Your best asset is your pussy. Just kidding. No. Yeah. So I definitely. So that's a sore issue too. That's the kind of a contentious issue about who's paying. I'm definitely like a little more old school in like the courtship process. Like I was sharing with you in the beginning of this podcast. I mean, when we were catching up, that I like to be asked, "Will you be my girlfriend?" and all that. So I definitely have a more old school approach still to dating. I want to be asked. I want to be like picked up and walked home and all of those things. And I want the guy to arrange everything. And I feel like it sounds so like spoiled, but I feel like it's an opportunity for me to see what his leadership looks like. And so how much work he puts in it. So
now you're just mixing business with pleasure.
Yes, I am too. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I got a good business contact. So if it does not work out romantically, no, I'm just kidding. But
no, you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm not. yeah, all the guys that I've dated, they would like start commenting on my YouTube and like, that's a lie. How do you approach that? The who's paying part?
I mean, I like, especially for first date, I always pay anyway.
Yeah,
but
you're a gentleman.
But I do notice if she offers or not.
Right. Yeah.
So I always tell people, you should always, like for men, you should always pay for the first date, but she should always offer. But you should never take it.
Oh, yeah, that works too. Yeah.
Because like you said, like you learn a lot about him, whether he like pays or not, but then you also learn a lot about her, about what her manners are and how she was raised.
Right. Yeah. That's a different perspective for sure for me. So for me, I would never offer, but I do thank the guy and I tell him that I appreciate it and that I had a great time. I feel like for guys, they don't care about the money. They care that they're appreciated, for me, I think, or maybe the guys that I am attracted to. And mm-hmm. And when I do say thank you and I appreciate him, I would really like, you know, obviously I sound really sincere, but I never, for me personally, I never had offered to pay unless I fucking hate the date. Then I would offer, no, let me pay half. No, I got this. Fucking jerk. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm gonna call your dad. But yeah, I only pay and insist to pay. So my girlfriend told me it's because like you don't owe them anything, like mentally or emotionally. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also because like I am releasing this. I don't know. I think emotionally for me, it's like I am releasing this experience. And so I'm paying for it. And then I'm done. I don't know. I think that's it.
Well, the way that I've heard other girls phrase it when they do it is because they want to make sure that the guy definitely has no expectations either way. And they want to just cover themselves. Like you said, forget about it. And definitely, again, yeah, it's kind of like the expectation thing.
That's
but yeah,
true.
I mean, it's definitely right about the appreciate. Like I dated a girl in Bali for a couple months and she never said thank you. And it drove me crazy. And we like fought about it all the time. Cause for me, it's just like a like complete lack of manners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you said like it when you mentioned that seeing if she would offer you get to see her manners. Yeah, that's manners. I think thanking someone and I think rewarding the guy in different ways that are way more than money for me is more important, like giving them like a sincere compliment. So if they're like early, I will say them like, oh, I really appreciate you being early. It means like you value my time and I like that. And that says a lot about you. So I think that's a sincere compliment. And I think that's more rewarding to a guy than paying half of the bill. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just there's so many different cultures, especially because like us as nomads, you know, we travel to different countries and different cultures, and like the date, you know, women from different countries, they have different values. And you can see a lot of that when you go on dates. You can also just tell a lot about a country by opening up Tinder, right? You know,
right.
If you go to Colombia, you open up Tinder, every girl there is a prostitute, right? If you go to Thailand, you open up Tinder, you know, it's a bunch of lady boys. And then the women say, I'm not a lady boy.
Right.
In Georgia, it's interesting. Most of the women don't show their face. And you'll see pictures of their cats, their apartment. It's because it's a conservative country. And like everybody knows each other and they don't want people to know they're on Tinder. So they won't even show their profile. So you can just tell a lot about a culture just by going on Tinder in whatever country you're in.
Ah, interesting. I think that's right. I think that's really interesting. So how do you, because like these apps, they're very looks based. Right? That's why it's swiping. It's faces and it's swiping. So how did you navigate that in Georgia, for example, when they didn't show their faces?
Georgia's like one of the toughest places I've seen for dating. I think I maybe had like only one date in like the 2 months that I was there. It's just not like, it was not a fun place for dating. It's definitely one of those you kind of have to like live there, like know the locals and kind of get in the community. Or I mean, you just, you know, spend a lot of time talking to them, exchanging information, whatever the case is.
And so do you still exchange pictures, say, if you move to WhatsApp or something like that?
That's fine. They just don't want like other women to see them, or like men that they might know to see that they're on there.
Like their cousin, right? Or something like that. Yeah, that's definitely, thankfully I don't see my cousins on the apps. That would be really weird. So what about a bad date? Tell us about a bad date that you went to.
Oh, so many, so many.
Maybe share two that stands out.
Yeah, I had one that, I actually didn't even want to go out with her in the first place because she was a lot younger than me. And it was like, I think at the time.
12.
No. I leave the pedophilia to, you know, the celebrities. I was 31 at the time and she was 21. Uh-huh. And I just like, you know, I had a bad like feeling. I didn't want to do it. Anyway, I ended up going on a date with her. And in the beginning of the dinner, she tells me she's really boring. Like that's how she starts the date. She was not kidding. She had nothing to say, nothing to talk about. After an hour, I went to the restroom and I called my friend. I'm like, call me back in 15 minutes. You know, tell me you have an emergency and I'm going to get out. And that was like the only time I've ever had to do that because it was just horrible.
Oh, gosh. I remember. Yeah, I had a date like that too. But he didn't tell me he was boring. He was just boring. So I don't know which one's worse. He's like, she told you. Like, she had this disclaimer.
Yeah. But I used to find that a lot in general is just a lot of people are not able to hold a conversation. Yeah. It's also like strange. Like if you went back home, right? Like say you were single and you went back to the Philippines and you tried to date a local, how much would you possibly have to talk about? Right. It's so much like I find it just so much harder to connect with people who have like regular lives these days.
Ooh, just spicy. That's interesting.
But I mean, it's true. Like even my friends from back home, like we can go and hang out, but it's not going to be the same because we have very different lives. You know, they might be settled down with like a kid now. They don't really go out much. They don't travel. So they just go to work and whatever. And we have all these like other different experiences.
Right.
It makes it harder to date, I think, somebody who's not a nomad.
Yeah. Or an entrepreneur, they said.
Yeah.
This is a great, like, way to bring it up because most of my listeners are entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs or you know, people working remotely, location independent. And one of the things that definitely people complain about in that realm is dating. Definitely we think that our lives are unconventional. No, we don't think we're better than them, whatever. No one's better, obviously, but it's just like a more unconventional lifestyle. And even like the discussion on visas and passports for me is just exhausting. I have a Philippine passport and then if I go home and then they will start asking me, so how did you get to America? And what did you do to get a Canadian visa? And like, it's just like, oh gosh, like I'm not a travel agency. Like, I think I would prefer if you ask me about my shampoo that I'm using, like that would be, I don't know, a better conversation for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think that there's also challenges there when you are dating, even a nomad dating other nomads, right? You have to kind of agree on what places you want to travel to next.
yeah,
and what kind of lifestyle you want to have. Like, I do a lot of fast travel, which does not work for most people, right?
Yeah.
So there's definitely challenges there. I've been doing this for 5 years. I haven't had a home base yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So all that books behind you.
I'm at my parents' house. I'm visiting the U.S. for like 3 weeks to see family.
Oh, that's right.
And then I go back to Asia. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. So Bad Date was, she mentioned that she was boring. And then she was actually boring. What did you try to do to like make it less boring? Like, how did you navigate that situation?
I just try to like start asking questions.
Right.
I've actually had this was another day where I was like, okay, you ask me a question now. Like, okay, you ask me, because it's just no flow in conversation.
Right.
But
yeah.
Some people just need to be single and not force dates.
Yeah. I think that's the other problem of people not working on themselves before they start dating, right? Not saying, also she's young, she's very young. I mean, you and I, when we were 21, we were probably boring people too.
Speak for yourself. I was getting sued at 21 for running an illegal business. So
Oh really? I was a professional poker player at 21, immediately actually. So
see, not boring.
Not boring. And then I was, oh, this is funny. I actually just realized this a few days ago. When I was at that age, I think from like 19 to 21 or something like that, I actually just remember this a few days ago. I drank rum every day. Isn't that crazy? It's very not ladylike. Because you're supposed to be surprised.
No, but now that you bring up the poker thing, I saw the group chats and WhatsApp about like nobody wanting to play poker with you because you take their money. Now it makes sense.
No. It's just a part of my past now. But then people will be like, didn't you live in Vegas? Like, yeah, but I didn't live in Vegas because of poker. I'm not like that kind of poker player. I just happen to be there. But anyway, Bad Date, when I had this really bad date with a tax attorney and I was making fun of myself. I think it was the pandemic, I think. And I matched with this guy on the apps, one of the apps. And then we went out on a date. And then I was like, obviously there was that conversation, what do you do? And so I usually say I'm a writer. I don't say I'm an entrepreneur. And then he said, I'm a tax attorney. And then I think I made some jokes about tax attorneys being boring and something. And then when I met him, he had no hair and looked like 5 years older and was a little like heavier. The weight didn't really bother me, but putting it all together was just bad. And then the conversations were just so boring. It's the same thing. I asked him questions, tried to prod. I would like crack a joke here and there and he would not even laugh. And then there was like 1 or 2 minutes of just complete silence. And that's when I thought, okay, this is done.
Well, I guess you were right about tax attorneys, right?
Yeah. So I learned my lesson. And then so we were getting the bill. We were leaving. Thankfully, it was lunch. I love doing lunch first dates because I see their face and everything. And I'm very likely to not drink alcohol. And I can cut it out. Like after 2 hours, I say, oh, I have to go somewhere or whatever. So I love lunch dates. And then we were paying the bill. And then as he was paying the bill, I said, well, I had a great time. Thank you so much. And I'll see you around. But it definitely sounded like I'm never seeing you again. And so he tried to salvage the conversation or the date, not the conversation. He tried to salvage the date by saying, oh, wait, can I, what are you doing this afternoon? And I'm like, oh, I think I'll just go shopping or something. And then he said, can I go with you? I'll pay for everything. And I'm like, ooh, tempting. And I, with a heavy heart, I said no. I said, oh, that's sweet. And then I lied. I said something like, I'm meeting my girlfriends and we're just doing this girl thing, whatever. But I don't know what his play was. Like, I don't know.
Maybe he wanted to be like your sugar daddy.
Damn it, I missed the boat. Yeah. And this is why I'm still working.
I once told the girl at the end of the day, take care.
What?
I told a date once at the end of it, because like sometimes I don't know how to end a date if I don't want to see them again. Right. So I would just say like, take care.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother-in-law always makes fun of me for that. He still says it to this day. But the general rule of thumb is like, especially on the apps, that women lie about their weight, men lie about their height.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that's so true and so weird, because I had this phase in my life where I was discriminatory towards height, which doesn't, like, shouldn't matter. I'm 5'2". Like, I can date anyone from 5'5 to 6'5". So that's a really wide range. And so I was discriminatory about height. And then there's this guy, and he said on his dating profile, philanthropist, that was the first thing. Philanthropist, 6'3". And he mentioned some book that was, I think it was Thinking Fast and Slow. And I'm like, wow, dream guy. Like, damn, I want to have babies with you. And then we met. He's definitely not a philanthropist. He was six. So he said it was 6'3". Sorry. He said it was 6'3". He wasn't 6'3". He was 6'2". But 6'2 is really tall. Why would you lie? That's so psychopathic.
How could you tell the difference between him being 6'2 and 6'3?
Oh, okay. So one of my guy friends, I met with one of my guy friends when I was meeting with him, like he was picking me up. And then my guy friend was exactly 6'2". And then they shook hands or whatever, and they were exactly the same height. And this is like a long-term friend of mine. Like, so I know he's 6'2". And they're exactly the same height, so 6'2". And so I teased him about it on our date. And I said, why did you put 6'3"? You're 6'2". You're already tall. And then he just laughed and he said, I thought it was just fun to do. And I thought, that's really psychopathic. Like, you're already tall. That's so weird. And so, yeah. So that was definitely a bad match. I think we went out on other dates, but it didn't really pan out long term.
Got it.
Because I couldn't stop thinking about that. I couldn't stop.
You know, like, if Seinfeld was around now, you would be like one of the characters.
Why?
Because you just like that. What you just explained is like one of the, like, would be like an episode out of Seinfeld.
Thanks. That's what I want this podcast to be. Do you have any other crazy bad date story?
I mean, I've had dates where, like, yeah, they've looked nothing like the picture, because they've, you know, the picture was like from 5 years ago. I'd say I've made the mistake of going out with way too many Russian girls, just because, like, you know, on the surface they look attractive, but then the personality is usually garbage. So,
we're gonna get canceled here. I'm gonna have a audience spike in Russia soon. And then get you canceled.
I don't even think they can access your podcast from your IP address.
Yeah. Let me see. I think I've dated from a lot of different cultures, or I wouldn't say dated, like went on a first date. Let's do that. With a lot of different cultures. I think one, I will contribute to this conversation. I think one nationality that definitely stands out is Germans for me. So I'm an Asian, Germans.
Yeah, but in a good way or in a bad way?
I think in a neutral way. I think there's a good and bad way of thinking about it. So I'm an Asian girl. I'm from the Philippines. I look Chinese-ish. And then I'm very American when I talk. And then my humor is like truck driver, right? So it's just like... It's just like this kinder joy of bad drugs. And that's me. And that's what they get. And so I find intelligent men to be like super attractive. And I actually like serious men, because for me, it's a challenge when I make them laugh. I'm like, ooh, I have a little like, you know, triumph when I make them laugh. And so I actually match with like Germans pretty good. And I noticed that they're definitely some of the most serious people out there, even though they already know that I'm not a serious person on my like bio or profile. And then they're very hard, like they're like quiet speakers. So I have to like listen to them, and then they have the accent, so I have to listen more. And then I think they're one of the hardest people to crack in terms of humor. They're definitely serious, but they are straightforward, and I like that. They are articulate, and they really have good book recommendations. Yeah, so
your standards are not high whatsoever, are they?
Honestly, like the German dates that I went to, I've never had a bad date with a German guy, because I would always get a really good book recommendation out of it. Yeah.
You know, you're making me jealous. I've never dated a German girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe you can start with a German Shepherd.
You know, it's funny. I do love dogs more than anything in the world. So
yeah.
I just went to a Husky Cafe in Thailand. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, not Thailand. In Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh my gosh, I miss KL. I miss the helipad bars.
that's where we went as well.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Oh, I miss that.
Heli bar.
Yes. I think that's definitely, so the nationality that stands out for you is Russians. And I think for me, it's Germans. And who do you match? Is there a nationality that's super easy for you to match with, and why?
I wouldn't say necessarily nationality. I'd say just anybody who's very like open-minded, especially with my sense of humor, right? You're either going to hate me, which is like most of the people, or you're going to love it, which is like a smaller amount. Yeah. You know, I think I lost like 80% of my followers on Instagram during COVID times because of my memes. So
I know. Plus everyone knows, like, you know, you have like 5 booster shots anyway. So I think that's why they all left, because you had too much.
Me? Funny. Yeah. But like, I'm like very politically incorrect, and I can make any kind of joke. Like, I don't, you know, if I make a misogynist joke and somebody takes it seriously, like that's, I feel like their problem, not mine.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
that's true. I'm there with you.
I know you send me the memes.
Yeah, exactly. You're in my close friends on my Instagram, and that's like the darkest pit of hell. So for me, it's how do you gauge so mostly open-minded people wherever they come from.
Easy. You tell a couple jokes in the beginning, and you see how they react, and then you can quickly filter them out.
Yeah. That's true. And waiting for that timing is kind of exciting, right? Like, they're just like, random anal joke, like, and then see like how they receive it.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law used to do that. He would make like an anal joke on a first date, or he had all kinds of different things he would do. Like, he would like sometimes pretend he left his wallet in the, like at home, to see how the girl would react about having to pay for him on a date. Just to see if she was like cool with it or not, you know?
Oh God.
On a first date, he took my sister to a rib place, or I can't remember, ribs or wings, because he wanted to see what she would order, like a salad, or if she would like roll up her sleeves and like get her hands dirty, you know?
Hmm. So what did your sister order?
She rolled up her sleeves.
Yes, perfect. She passed the test. Yeah. Well, thankfully I'm Filipino, and we use spoon and fork even with chicken wings, so I think that would be easy for me.
True, but you guys don't have any good food in the Philippines, so.
Oh no, we have a lot of good food, actually. You should come to my potluck. So no, it's we have a lot of bad food, as in like bad for you food, but they taste good.
But Filipinos' favorite food is Chinese food.
No, not really.
I heard it was. I even went to a wedding in Cebu. It was catered to Chinese food.
No, it's like Chinese and Spanish. It's like a mix of Chinese and Spanish flavors or something like that. But because we've been colonized so much, the recipes are definitely evolving. So it's also highly, highly, you know, subjective on where you eat. For me, an easy match would be like, I think something like you shared, like an open-minded person. And nationality, easy for me to match with like Americans or Canadians because of the media that we consume, right? So it's then it's easy to talk about nuances and references.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to go on a first date with someone where English is not their first language?
Yeah, I mean, I've had dates where the entire date was through like Google Translate.
What?
Yeah.
The entire date is Google Translate?
The entire date, like in Mexico City, like she doesn't speak a word of English. I don't speak a word of Spanish.
Wow. How does that work? How do you... Wow. Google
Translate.
Wow. And did you go on a second date?
I did because I felt bad because I like we had sex and then I felt bad. So I like went on a second date just to like, you know, but it's really awkward. Like after you have sex and you're lying in bed and you still can't speak to each other.
Right. Oh, my God. Just sign language or something. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, there was a TV show. I forgot. I think it was on Netflix. And it was they're filming people's first date or something like that. And there was definitely a pair there where the girl spoke really just 10 words of English. And it was just so hard. I think for me personally, even if I'm physically attracted to someone, it's going to be very hard to relate. And I am a girl and most girls use that chemistry time to decide if we want to sleep with a guy, you know, so even sex would be hard for me to decide on, you know, if we can't understand each other. I know, but you did it. Congrats to that girl. If you're listening right now,
she won't understand me.
Oh gosh, it's funny. That's definitely awkward. So what are your tips? Well, what are your quick tips if your first date is with someone where English is not their first language? Download Google Translate.
Google Translate. Go do something where you don't necessarily need to do a lot of talking. Like go to like dance or something. Because yeah. I had this happen again a second time. And in that case, I had a friend with me who spoke Spanish and he translated the entire night.
Oh, God. Did you pay him?
Well, it was funny because earlier in the day, him and I were actually talking about I asked him what his number was of how many women he had slept with. And then the next day after I had hooked up with her, he's like, by the way, she counts as my number, even though you had sex with her because I did all the work.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. He made it happen for you. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, that would have never worked out for me. I did have this special experience where the guy had a speech impediment and
a special experience.
Yes. And so we matched on one of the apps. He's Canadian. He's Canadian. Well, why did I say he was? It's like I killed him. Yeah, he passed away after our date. No, I'm just kidding. He's still alive, hopefully. But he's Canadian. And then he looked good. And then, of course, we were texting. So I wouldn't know that he had a speech impediment. And then we met. And then we were talking. And I'm like, I couldn't hear his words. And so I kept asking, what did you say? Or something like that. And then... And then our date was pretty unique, actually. It was at Home Depot. Because I've been just targeting all the single dads. No, I'm just kidding. But I think he was like, what are you doing this Sunday? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to Home Depot. I'm actually buying some plants. And then he was like, oh, can I go with you? And I think that was our first date or whatever. And I couldn't understand him. He did pay for my plants. So that was nice. And then I realized at the end of, so after Home Depot, we went out to eat. And then it just dawned on me. I'm like, oh, I get it now. He has a speech impediment. And
it
so
took you that long to realize this?
Yeah, because I thought I blamed myself. I blamed myself. Like, maybe I'm not listening properly, or if I really made an effort, I would understand him. So maybe I thought I was just out of it and I just needed to make an effort. And so I just like kept making an effort, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. He had a speech impediment. And I think like his tongue was like short or cut off. So it wouldn't have worked out anyway, right? I was just kidding. But oh my God, I hope he's not listening. And so I told him, like, you know, I had a great time. Thank you so much. Because there really was nothing wrong. I didn't want to say it. And then the next day, he was like, I had a great time. I want to see you again. And then I was super busy, super busy. I didn't reply to him. He texted me like 3 more times. And then he texted me the 4th time and he was mad. He was like, so you're this kind of girl. You just want to reply to me. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, wow, you're fucking toxic. Yeah. So bye. So I just like blocked him. But yeah, that was pretty like unique for me in all fronts. So that was sad. Yeah.
Were you expecting him to like text as he spoke, so he would like stutter in the WhatsApp like RRRE?
Right. And I could feel like superior for a moment before I blocked him. Like,
well, see, this is why you're going to hell. So
I know, but I'll see you there. Yeah. So I mean, I don't intend to, like, obviously a speech impediment or, you know, something like a disability is nothing like to be laughed about or whatever. And in fact, I was like, I didn't want him to feel bad about it. And maybe that's why I didn't mention it. But it was just hard for me to listen. It was more effort for me. And then the other thing was, I think I just got out of another like complicated relationship, and I was just not in the mood to make an effort.
But yeah. I think it's actually on them. I think like with cases like this, people need to make it clear in their profile, like some of the things, you know, that they're dealing with, whatever it is. I had a thing in Brooklyn where I went on a date and the girl didn't tell me that she kept kosher. And that was like a deal breaker, because that's like a very, very big lifestyle choice, right? So that's something you should put in your profile, you know, even if you're a vegan, that's probably like something other people want to know, because,
right,
you know, it's probably not going to work out.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I did try to go out with a vegan person, and it definitely didn't work out, because he was like below the food chain and I was up here. No, I'm just kidding. And I couldn't see him. No, I'm just kidding. As my equal? No. But yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I think if there's something important about your lifestyle and you're out there to kind of see if you can share a life with someone else, right? You got to mention that. Yeah. Do you also put like a no blank, like no Democrats allowed? Or no vegans allowed? Like, what's non-negotiable?
I don't put it on my profile, but they're definitely in my head.
Can you share some?
Well, just like, I mean, again, I'm pretty open-minded, but if somebody's like, I think it's more of the other way around, right? If somebody says like, I don't want anybody who like has like had a vaccine or whatever, you know, like I obviously wouldn't fit that. I don't care if somebody else has done it, because some people do it for like, you know, reasons other than like they want to. They needed to do it to keep their job or to travel or whatever. If somebody said like, I'm allergic to pets, or I don't like dogs, or I don't like cats, that's deal breaker.
Aw.
Yeah. Or somebody who writes, I don't identify as a woman.
These are my pronouns.
Oh yeah. If I see stuff like that in a profile, like if somebody says like my pronoun is this, I'll immediately like swipe left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's true. I think it's like, I think also like, especially if they're not like being funny about it, right? Like, it's just like, but they get to take themselves out in the beginning part of your elimination round. So I think it's cool. It's kind of cool that they do that, right? Like, oh, I don't actually want to go out with you. So I'm not going to be distracted by your like beautiful body if you have it, because sometimes we break our rules for attractive people. So you definitely tried doing that, right? On a first date, like you broke some of your rules, like personality wise, because
of course.
And you
guys do this all the time.
That's true.
Why do you think Colombia is such a popular destination for nomads?
Oh, that's right. So that's really it. Yeah, maybe I should not take my boyfriend to Colombia because we'll be very dangerous.
It depends. How do you feel about threesomes?
Well, I'll try anything once. I think threesomes are fun, especially if I can steal from them after.
No. They're the Colombians. They're stealing from you. You're mixing it up.
Oh my God. We're going to so get canceled here. Okay. Did you ever do a threesome on a first date? No. It's just like, hi, Amanda, this is my tax attorney. So how do you prepare for a first date? And what kind of effort do you put?
I'd say I don't really prepare. I find where to go. Like, it's not a lot of preparation. You just pick a place where you want to go and get ready. I mean, you know, guys can get ready in 10 minutes. Right. So
you first take off your chastity belt. That's number one.
You know, shave my whole chest.
Exactly. Right. Put the fake eyelashes on your nipples so that it looks like you have nipple hair. It makes you more manly.
You must have some weird dates.
No, I am the weird date.
You know, I think the more interesting podcast would be me speaking to your boyfriend. That would be about you. That would be great.
I don't think my lawyer would be happy about that. So you have to subpoena my boyfriend to get that information.
Well, ironically enough, I'm also an attorney, so that's not a problem.
Oh, shit. Oh, gosh. I shot myself in the foot there. I think for girls preparing for a first date, we're generally optimistic, right? Unless I noticed with girls, unless they are actually, it's funny how the more desperate a girl is, the less optimistic they actually are. It's like I've noticed a lot of girls, they're like wanting to go on dates and meet guys, quote unquote, meet guys, go out on dates, be taken out on dates. And the more like desperate they are, the more they actually kind of believe that it's not going to be a good date. But I feel like for girls who are feeling good about themselves and they're more detached of the result of the date, they actually are focused on just their own enjoyment. And then even if the date is actually mediocre, they still have a good time, or something like that. After my long-term relationship, I had a four-year relationship. We broke up in 2020, 3 years. And, so I haven't had practice for a very long time. I bought this course for women on like how to date better, relationship, whatever, blah, blah. And they had a tip that on the way to your date, you should visualize what the date will be. And it should not focus on the guy. It should focus on you, on you enjoying the date, and on you laughing, enjoying the food, something like that. And I kind of practiced that. And so every date that I went to, I just focused on if I'm having fun. And I've never really had like very bad dates.
Yeah, I mean, if you just go to a place with good food, right? Even if the date is bad, at least you have a good meal.
Yeah, but that's also annoying to think about, because like I can afford to feed myself and I'll just have... Like,
I'm not saying you think about it. I'm just saying like you can always look at the bright side.
A consolation prize. Yeah. But you know, the good thing about first dates is there's always something to learn. There's always something to learn. Every human being is just a capsule of stories. Like that's what I always tell myself. And it's always good to learn about other people's lives. Do you believe that? Do you think about that? Or you're just like a horny teenager when you go on a first date?
No, it's definitely, it's definitely true, right? Like you learn something from every person, some interesting fact or story.
Right.
And then you turn into the horny teenager.
Yeah. For girls, it's like we do the conversation and then we decide if we want to be the horny teenager.
That's not true. You decide within the first like 2 seconds of seeing somebody.
That's true. That's actually true. And then you fight with your inner demons, like what you're going to deal with that feeling.
Well, they say a woman makes that decision in 2 seconds, right? So once she decides, the only thing for a guy is it can get worse, right? The more he opens his mouth and says stupid shit, the lower his chances are.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, gosh. So you're an entrepreneur. You're also a digital nomad. How do you approach that conversation about what you do? Because what you do is kind of like a really high level thing. And it's kind of you live an unconventional lifestyle. What are the reactions that you usually get?
I usually just tell people I work in marketing just because it's easier to understand, unless they know specifics, and then I'll go into details. So I keep it pretty low level. But you know, like, especially like if you know you're only in a place for 2 or 3 months and you go on a date, right? Like they know there's a good chance like nothing serious is going to come of that. Cause then once your visa's up, you have to leave. So either they know and understand it, or they secretly think that you're going to stay for them.
Oh.
Which, I mean, in many cases with some guys that can happen, right? They meet somebody in Colombia or whatever country, fall in love and end up staying there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've never felt that feeling?
No, not with... I'd have to think back on all the dates.
yeah. Did you meet a girl who like made you think twice?
I have, but it was also in a place I'd never want to live. So
I see.
Then it's, yeah. Because if you meet somebody in like a place like that you really like, right? That's easier because you just want to stay then either way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, that was a big thing for me because, like, I used to live in the States and I don't want to anymore. And I really love living in Playa del Carmen. So I also was particular about dating, when I was ready for a relationship, about only dating people that want to live here long term and are okay with that. Like, if they're pretty open and it living here, like, works for them. I had to also accept that as a part of kind of like the condition. Do you have a budget on your first date? So you're the guy, you're the one paying most of the time.
All the time.
All the time.
I don't have a specific budget. It's definitely cheaper like when you're abroad, right? Because like the cheapest date in New York is going to be like $100, no matter how you look at it. Whereas if you're in Mexico, it might be like 20, but I'm obviously not going to go like take her to like a 5-star restaurant, fly her on a helicopter somewhere. Like,
why not? I'm just kidding. If that was the first date, that's kind of,
you should create a course for women, how to teach them how to be a gold digger.
I'd love that. I would love that. Yes. Thank you. Will you be my affiliate?
Is it like your boyfriend's Instagram profile is Affiliate Booth? Is he like part of their network?
No, it's not. It doesn't mean affiliate. That's so funny. I'm going to tell him that actually. It's his name. It's his name. Alexander Frederick Felix, AFF.
But why Booth?
It's his last name.
Oh, I definitely thought it was Affiliate Booth.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I'm definitely going to tell him that. Yeah. No, he's not in the industry. He's not in our industry, and that's why he thinks I'm crazy. I'm not going to lie. There's definitely a wow factor of certain dates. Like if he takes you to a 5-star restaurant, like definitely the helicopter. Yes, that's definitely nice. But I think it also makes you overthink sometimes. Like, is he money laundering? Why does he need to spend so much money? Like, I definitely had a first date where it was so extravagant, and it definitely made me question how he made his money. And so it worked against him.
Yeah. The best dates are the creative ones, right? Where you do something that's unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although you wouldn't go hiking, so you're kind of boring, but you know.
Hiking. That's how people end up dead in like pieces.
Not Filipinos.
What do you mean?
I mean, you never see anybody like murder a Filipino person.
Why?
I don't know. It just doesn't
happen. Maybe it's just underreported. No, I think it's for me, I definitely want to meet up in a public place where other people can see, definitely within 100 meters of a police station. No, I'm just kidding. And then when they pay, I'm going to look at the card, look at their full name, run a background check quickly when I go to the bathroom. Like, you know, it's just standard things. But, you know, kidding aside, I think ladies also should definitely think about their safety when going on first dates. And there's nothing that is, you know, you're going to have a good time. Even if you're listening to, even if you're Zooming with a guy, if he's cool, you're going to have a great time. So definitely don't like take risks or do anything you're not comfortable with safety wise on a first date. Don't go out with Yuri. Just if you see, ladies, please screenshot his face. If you see this guy on the apps, just swipe left because he's gonna take you out on a hike and turn you into soup. That's why his skin is so great. It's other people's skin.
Nice shout out.
So okay, what makes a date great? So if you were a dating coach and you're coaching me, hey Yuri, I've been quarantined at home for 3 years, I don't have to date anymore, what are your tips for me?
I mean, the way you know if it's great is if you want to go out on a second one, right? I'm a dating coach, you've been quarantined for 3 years, I'd say you're probably already mentally fucked. It's gonna take you a long time to get back out there.
So get therapy, number one.
Try to remember how to communicate with people.
I like that.
Don't seem desperate, even though you know you probably are, but don't come off that way. Dress to impress.
Yeah, I love that. No, I love that. I love that point about dressing to impress. What is a look that do you like a certain look on a girl?
Yeah, I like skin.
You're such a guy.
Heels, everybody looks better in heels, right? I think women don't wear white enough. I think white is a great color, especially for like a dress, and women don't wear it enough.
Wow. Wow, there must be a childhood story there.
No, it's just...
Were you hugged by your mom enough when you were a kid?
I know what you're doing. You're asking me therapy questions so you can send me a bill later. I'm not falling for it.
Yeah.
You're part Jewish. I know this trick.
Oh, it's the nose. I love that you mentioned that because one of my friends keep making fun of me for doing this. So when I was single, I had a first date outfit. And my first date outfit was a white crop top, just a t-shirt, crop top, mom jeans, and heels. And that was like my outfit. And my friend was like, why do you wear that? And I'm like, well, it's like mom jeans, so I can like do anything and I can walk or whatever. And it's a crop top, so it's like, it's hot too, but it's just a t-shirt, so it means I'm not trying. So that I just like had all of these like justifications, and it's heels because my butt looks great in them, but I don't really want to show my butt in a certain way, so I'm wearing mom jeans. And so he was like, you just got this all to a science and whatever.
Yeah, not a good science, but a science.
Yeah, it's not a good science, and that's why I never landed a long-term relationship in that outfit, actually.
That makes sense. Nobody likes mom jeans.
Really? I think mom jeans are hot. Make mom jeans great again.
We know who you voted for.
You're right. Bernie Sanders. No,
No, you like money too much to be a socialist.
yeah, that's true. I actually kind of like Andrew Yang. I buy all of his books. I like how he thinks. For real. Yeah, I think he's a smart guy, but I'm not American and I can't vote, so that's it. Anyway, let's not digress. What about you? What do you wear on a first date? Do you overthink it? You just put whatever on? Do you have certain outfits that are just home runs?
I mean, it depends where I am, right? Like last 5 years I've been in warm places, so it's usually like a polo or a shirt with like some shorts. In New York, jeans and a button down. Nothing special. But
Yeah, I
again,
think it's easy
guys
for
can get
guys.
away, yeah.
Yeah. Just like look like you showered today and that's it.
I mean, I did shower today. That's generally the goal, at least once a day.
Yeah. So you're dressed well, you've prepared for the date. What are the like top three most attractive things that you immediately notice on a first date?
Obviously the way she looks.
Looks, face, yeah, body, yeah.
The way she holds herself, like, the way she speaks, the confidence level, sense of humor. I mean, that's kind of the big one for me, right? Is the sense of humor. That's also the toughest one.
I know, yeah, especially for a girl. Not a lot of girls are funny. I think it's because there's rarely rewards for that.
I mean, even the female comedians, most of them are just not funny. It's not their fault, but actually, no, it is their fault. I take that back.
I think comedy is mostly writing, right? So there's just people who are naturally funny. Funny guys are definitely super attractive, and sometimes it's like it doesn't even matter what they look like, right?
I mean, maybe for women, men don't think that way.
I know.
Women are much more forgiving on physical appearance than men.
Yeah, for sure. I was listening to this other podcast the other day, and there was a guy who was what did he call himself? Anyway, he was kind of a like a mindset coach and a dating coach. But he was heavy on like mental health, masculinity, and he is a very funny guy. And he definitely, he definitely like takes that risk of telling really like dark jokes also, and yeah, like raunchy jokes. And he said that the reason why funny guys are so attractive, it's because when you say a joke, it's like living on the edge. It's risky. So if you're taking a risk, that's like a very attractive trait. And that's why funny guys are attractive to women or something like that. What do you
Yeah, that
think
doesn't
about
really work in the woke culture that we're in right now,
that?
but
Yeah. I know. Yeah, well,
especially with like
hopefully, yeah.
the newer generations who get offended so easily, cancel culture.
I know. That's why it's like in the chats, though, like when you chat with them before you invite them on a first date, hopefully you see if they're more woke or not, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely bring up, some joke about Black Lives Matter and see how they react.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I would say
Oh,
some.
Me Too movement. There's a good one as well.
Right, me too. Hashtag believe women. Hashtag what is a woman? Like, yeah, I definitely make some jokes that kind of test how they react about it. I make jokes about the vaccine, vegans, like, yeah. So women,
I like how you grouped vegans together with
vaccine.
yeah.
Well, it's because they both start with letter V, and so it's just a language. Well, because the vegans also get their vegetables vaccinated anyway. So so it tastes like meat. For me, as a girl, the top three most attractive things that I notice on a date, well, definitely, of course, we notice looks, but looks in such a way that it's obvious how a guy takes care of himself, like his haircut, like his fingernails, like grooming. And, you know, if he showed up with like his shirt ironed or something like that, I would definitely think twice about going on a second date with a guy if he shows up with like a really crumply like shirt or something. It's just not, doesn't sit well with me. I think number two is, I think it is being like open or like listening to me. He's like listening to me and not trying to dominate the conversation. And he, if I feel like he generally wants to learn something about me, and I think manners, you know, if he opens the door for me, lets me sit first. So as you can see, I'm definitely like more old school. Do you do that? Do you open doors for girls?
Yep. But because for me, that's like a natural thing. Like it's something right. I've done my entire life. I don't think of it as like doing anything extra.
Right. For the first date.
No, like ever.
Yeah.
For
it
anyone.
Just, yeah. It just
not happened. Even a not even a date. Just like out in public, like anything.
Yeah. But do you have to know her pronouns first for you to open the door for her?
I would assume her pronouns. If she told me her pronouns, I wouldn't open the door. Because then I already don't. Because then I already dislike.
You lock the door.
So.
You lock the door on her. This, you know, is like that they them.
If somebody asked me my pronoun, I would be offended that they wouldn't just assume I'm a man.
Right? Like I have a beard. You fucking slut. So definitely we've established that dating. Or first dates for people with unconventional lifestyles like us are a little more challenging. What is your advice for other digital nomads out there, other location independent entrepreneurs, how to navigate their dating life easier?
Oof. I'd say just like let it come naturally. You know, find a place you like to live, find what you want to do, and then kind of put in the pieces there instead of like going out and looking for it. I think you kind of just have to, like you said, work on yourself and then it'll come.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so I'm sure a lot of girls will want to find you now that they know about your feelings about the vaccine and veganism and pronouns. So can you share with us how can people find you and how can they follow all the amazing things you're doing in the space?
Well, I am currently off the market, but if you're interested if you're interested in my memes, my Instagram Scorpio8401. The company URL is I work for Unfolio, so unfolio.com. Yeah, find me on Facebook, Yuri Bialik. And also, I need you to not publish this podcast with my last name on it.
Why?
I will explain after the call.
Okay, sounds good. I'll put my last name on it. Perfect. And then I'll just tell everyone that you're my cousin.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you so much, Yuri. And thank you so much to everyone who joined us in today's conversation. If you have any comments, just leave it on the YouTube channel. Or if you love this episode, which I'm sure you did, you can also feel free to leave us a rating on podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much for staying with us. Thank you so much, Yuri, for your time. This was so fun as usual. And I'll see you, all of you guys, next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit ProximityOutsourcing.com and check out their solutions.
If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.